From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Open lines this hour. I'll give you the numbers in just a moment so you can get a jump start on your friends and neighbors. And next hour, Mitch Shedlock, our guest. Predictions of the economy. Big economic collapse coming soon. We'll find out. It's going to be an interesting coast-to-coast program. Well, Rummy, Donald Rumsfeld, is stepping down as defense secretary, and former CIA director Robert Gates will be nominated to take his place. If you've been listening to news and talk shows all day, you probably know that. If you're just tuning in to Coast, just picking up news for the first time, yep, he has decided to call it quits. President Bush made a formal announcement after holding a press conference to offer his take on the midterm elections. Gates, who is currently the president of Texas A&M University, met with Mr. Bush on Sunday at the president's ranch in Crawford, Texas, noting that his time at the university was the best in his life. But he said this is the time for him to go back to Washington facing challenges that the United States must undertake. As for Donald Rumsfeld, he will just simply call it quits, as the defense secretary has been under fire for some time now, especially with this Iraq war situation. Montana's Republican Senate seat shifted into the Democratic column on Wednesday afternoon, giving the party control of 50 seats and leaving Virginia now as the lone roadblock to a Democratic sweep or a Republican split of Congress. In Virginia, the State Board of Elections announced it would not certify the outcome of the race between incumbent Republican Senator George Allen and the Democratic challenger Jim Webb until November 27th, after which recounts could begin. I mean, this is really close. They're separated by only 7,800 votes. There are no automatic recounts in Virginia. The candidates were, again, separated by 7,800 votes out of more than 2.3 million cast, with indications from both camps that any final outcome will wind up in court. Republican and Democratic Party leaders dispatched lawyers to Virginia to observe vote counting, as well as to canvass votes counted on Election Day. In Missouri, voters approved Amendment 2 by a very razor-thin margin, 27,000 votes out of 2.2 million cast, to protect all forms of embryonic stem cell research in the state allowed under federal law. That's the big case where Michael J. Fox came to Missouri to campaign for Claire McCaskill in Amendment 2. And, of course, Claire McCaskill has won the Senate seat, defeating incumbent Jim Talent. And Amendment 2 now, protecting all forms of embryonic stem cell research in the state of Missouri allowed under federal law, has passed. There is new hope for heart patients. Heart attack victims are to be given a revolutionary new treatment involving an injection of their own stem cells. This is major. Patients will have stem cells taken from their bone marrow and injected into their hearts within 5 hours after a heart attack. At the same time, they will undergo emergency angioplasty, a procedure to open up the blocked arteries. The stem cells from the bone marrow have been shown to have the ability to repair heart muscle and grow new blood vessels. The procedure is likely to prevent total heart failure. Well, but if you keep eating this, you're going to have heart failure. An 8,000-calorie burger has gone on sale in the United States. It's called the Quadruple Bypass Burger. 4 slabs of beef weighing 2 pounds, 3 cheese layers, 4 bacon, rashers, lettuce, and tomato. The Heart Attack Grill in Tempe, Arizona, has wheelchairs to carry customers out of the restaurant. Customers can also order the smaller triple bypass burger and flatliner fries cooked in pure lard. It's crazy. Absolute lunacy. The Cassini spacecraft is roughly halfway through its looping voyage of the Saturn system and is continuing to return just one heck of an amount of data on the ring planet and its moons. Yet all journeys, of course, must have an end, and Cassini's eventual fate is now being discussed. Sometime around 2012, that ominous year, Cassini, like the ocean-going ships of old, will need to be decommissioned. However, the spacecraft cannot be towed to some nearby shore to be dismantled. It would either be dropped anchor, scuttled, or cast off her gravitational moorings altogether. Complications arise. They don't know really what to do yet. They are thinking about the possibilities that they could just let it continue a long-lived orbit that would have little to no risk of ever hitting anything. Or they were also thinking about crashing it into Saturn, but they're afraid of the wafer-thin rings that are around the planet. And they say that the Cassini would have to pass through them, a risky maneuver that could render the spacecraft just uncontrollable. So we've got open lines for you this hour, and it's a good hour to have it. So here are the phone numbers for you. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, ready to go, at 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. We'll have open lines for you this entire hour. So let's go to our wild card line first to get things going. Good morning. How are you? Hello. Well, I guess that person is gone. How rude. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there. Hello.
How are you, George?
I'm fine. There, finally, a human being on the other end. Good to have you with us.
Very good. I wanted to call you because I woke up this morning and I don't very much remember my dreams, but I had a date of September 8th, 2009. And it just was right there, first thing in my head.
And so you got the date, but what does it mean?
No idea. I can't remember. I don't even remember having a dream, but I know the date was there as soon as I woke up.
So we've got to wait a couple of years, 2.5 years or so for this one, huh?
Yeah, but it's been bugging me all day. I mean, I don't know what to think about that because it was so much that it really felt like, you know, that was the first thing in my head, and there's no explanation for it.
Has anything ever happened to you on that date before?
No, not that. The only thing I could think that correlates is that there's a video game company that makes sports, and they're called 989 Sports. But I was thinking of it in terms of September 8, 2009, and not 989.
All right, well, we'll check in with us in 2.5 years and let us know what happens. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Take it away. Where are you calling from?
This is Manny. I'm calling from Gardena, California.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Well, I have two things if I could quickly, you know, let you in on here, share with everybody.
Okay, share it with the world. Go ahead.
Well, the first thing would be there's this one thing about the UFO thing that I don't know why doesn't anybody get it, but don't you think that there should be a clear, crystal clear picture with the technology of our cameras that we have now? We still take pictures of these flying saucers, and they're still, you know, obscure and blurry. And also, don't you think that they should have a more advanced type of vessel than a flying saucer?
Well, maybe they do. You know, we still don't know. We really don't know what these craft are. We don't know if they're time machines, if they're coming from another dimension. Who knows what they are? They could be organic and biological. Nobody really knows what they are. As far as the pictures, you know, even in this day of cell phones and cell photos and things like that, people really aren't ready to take quick pictures right away when you see something like that. And so that's not unusual to me.
It is, because, I mean, it's been so long that we've been taking these pictures of the same thing, of the same blur, and there's nothing really significant. You know, we should already be way past this stage already, and so should they. This shouldn't even be a flying saucer, because I'm sure their technology should have already changed by now. But anyway, with that said, that's all I have to say about that.
All right, that's all you have to say about that, so be it. Let's go next to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there, George. This is Roger calling from Omaha, Nebraska.
Hello,
Blowtorch, KFAB.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyway, thank you for all you do for the our nation and the world, because you are a great radio person, and you got a great sense of humor. You really do. And I can tell it all comes from the heart. I think that the fighting that our two parties do has been slowly destroying what we have built up over all these years. And I quite frankly am very worried about my children and my grandchild, what they're going to face because of all this infighting. And it follows a pattern, you know, great nations and stuff, you know, in the past. We are following the same storyline, and it worries me, George, and things that I hear on your show. I'm 48 years old, and doggone it, I would like to see our nation return to its greatness, but I don't know if we can anymore. I really don't.
Well, you know what? I think we can, and I think we can because there are Americans like you and so many others that I know who aren't going to give up. They're going to keep the good fight. You know, I would hope that the next president of the United States would say to the world, you know what, when I pick my cabinet, I'm going to pick the best people I can. They're not going to be from my party. They're going to be the best Americans I can find. And if they're Republicans and Democrats and Libertarians and Independents, so be it. And I think, and you're absolutely right, this infighting, this bickering, this, you know, liberal conservative stuff has got to stop, and we got to start thinking about ourselves as Americans who have, you know, very healthy different views. But you know what? We got to stop labeling people the way
we need. And we need leaders. We need somebody that is going to lead us and get over got to make arrangements for every type of situation, for every type of person, whatever, and the political correctness and stuff, it's destroying us.
Well, I know. And I can't run, though. I can't run right now. I've got the show to do, and I'm not leaving it.
Thank you, George, for all you do. I really do appreciate you guys.
All right, I appreciate you being part of the program. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello.
Oh, is this me?
Yes, it is.
Oh, hi, George. This is Heather. I am a truck driver, and I'm stuck in traffic in Delaware right now. And
How could you be stuck in traffic in Delaware?
You'd be surprised. Apparently, they're doing road construction. You'd think at 1 o'clock in the morning there wouldn't be much traffic, but
well, I got to tell you, I almost said I wasn't here today because I was driving my son tonight, and as we are going down the freeway here in St. Louis, some guy decides at the very last minute to pull into my lane. There must have been 50 feet between us, and we're doing 55, 60 miles an hour. And we just looked at each other in that split second, and we said, you know what, it's over. We're going to hit him. He's gone for sure, and we don't know what was going to happen to us. Somehow, something pushed our car to the left into a different lane. Thank God there was nobody in that lane. And then this idiot pulled back into his lane after sticking himself out. It was unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that before. And my son just looked at me and said, Dad, how many lives do we have left?
Guardian angel again.
Yeah.
Oh, you put her through a lot of work.
Oh, man, she must be stressed.
Well, look, I just called to give you an update on the Virginia Senate race. Allen has conceded tonight.
Oh, he did?
Yes. According to Fox News, he gave his concession speech. So that went Democrat also.
Well, that's interesting. Let me check that out. And does that also mean that they're not going to fight the recount?
Yes.
That's fantastic for those who are Democratic. But like I say, now it's time to rebuild this country.
Definitely. It's time. It doesn't really matter what side of the aisle you're on. You just need to get stuff done for the country.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, because nobody else has that information. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks. And you do a great job, George.
Okay. I appreciate you being on the program.
Have a good night.
Okay. You too. Let's move on west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing? I'm calling you from Florida. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, sir. Thank you.
Got a question for you.
Sure.
Now, your opinion about it. I'm 39 years old, in law enforcement for 13 years. Gotten myself into a little trouble. Went through a divorce. Got two young kids.
Okay.
Really thinking about joining the National Guard. I don't know if I should join the National Guard or go active duty. I mean, you know, I want to do what's right. Law enforcement, it's pretty much, you know, adrenaline job all the time. I work narcotics, you know, for years.
Oh, sure is. And it's a very high-risk job.
It is. It is. And I, you know, I'm kind of one of those people that like living on the edge a lot, you know. But then again, I got to think about my two children at home. You know, do you think that would be selfish of myself to join?
Selfish of yourself to join?
Yes.
No, but you know, you have to weigh a lot of things. One, is this something you would be doing for yourself or for your kids?
Both, and I thought about that. Both, you know, just, you know, to me, law enforcement was a way of life. You know,
and
you get out of it, you know, you have another career. It's not a way of life. You know, it's just a career.
You know? Are you concerned you're going to leave your two kids without a father because of the dangers of being in law enforcement?
No, I had got myself. I would still be in law enforcement today, working undercover,
okay.
Narcotics, and that's all I did. My concern would be leaving them and not being there to see them grow up. I mean, you know, I was gone quite a bit, you know, during my days of law enforcement, but.
Well, what are you doing now? You're not in law enforcement anymore?
Not in law enforcement anymore. I went through a divorce and just, you know, things had happened and I got myself into some trouble and I had to get out of law enforcement.
Well, because of what you did?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
But it won't keep me out of the armed forces.
I understand. It just sounds like you went through a rough divorce then, right?
It was my fault, the majority of it.
It takes two to tango. You know, you're a better man than most to admit your fault and stuff. And
well, I did. You know, I set her down and I told her everything because you know the truth was out. I wanted the forgiveness. I got forgiveness, and it's off my chest.
Okay. Know? So anyway, but you lose your career in the process, right?
I did.
Well,
and to be quite honest, it was because of drinking.
Okay.
Know? I've straightened myself up, got help for that, and you know, now I've got to look for something else. But the closest thing so far is I can, you know, give myself, you know, to either fight for my country or stay in the state that I am in right now.
Well, I got to tell you, admirable to fight for your country. I mean, I put in 9 years in the Navy, but I mean, I didn't fight for our country. I mean, I had
a media
relations officer's job. In your particular case, you do have to understand there's that high likelihood you're going to get called up somewhere.
Sure.
Are you prepared to do that?
Yes, I am. I just don't want to be selfish to say, okay, I can just stay working where I'm working now and not have to worry about, you know, leaving my kids.
But, have you, you know, weighed
I,
the...
I, you know, I want my little boy to be proud of me. I want to say, hey, you know, that's my dad, you know. And a majority of that's me.
You know what? Children will be proud of you no matter what. You know, you treat them with love and respect. You know what? It doesn't matter whether you're making $5 an hour or $150,000 a year. They're going to respect you if you're kids.
Very much so. I understand that. But, you know, it comes a time, though, that you have to be proud of yourself.
And it sounds like you're looking for that right now.
Yes.
Well,
yes,
if you
I
wanna,
am.
If you wanna,
but I don't want to step on my children in the process. You know, I want to be there for them.
How old are they?
One is eight and one is four.
Too small, I think, really, to understand if you go up to them and say, hey, Daddy's going to do this. I may not be home all the time. And I assume you have partial custody or visitation rights?
Civil custody. I get them whenever I want.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty. You got to follow your heart. I mean, I can't tell you what to do career-wise. I mean, you got to
do
what you think is right for yourself, and don't look back and don't regret it. Make your decision and then go for it.
Sure.
I am curious to find out what you will do when you do it.
I am 99% sure that I'm going.
You're gonna go.
I'm gonna go.
How old are you?
I'm 39.
39. Okay.
I've still got 20 years left if the good Lord allows me to live that long.
Any college degree or anything? You'd go in as an officer if you had that.
Yeah, I've got some college, yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
You might want to go in, come back out, get that GI Bill, go back to school. You're never too young.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, you know, and I've got the recruiter. He's drawing up a package now. So, you know, I think, you know, leave it in the good Lord's hands, and I think that he'll pretty much point me in the right decision. But I'm kind of one of those guys that, you know, sometimes likes a boost. You know, it's like
you're
doing the right thing, you know.
You do what makes you happy. That's the best advice I can give you.
Sure.
Okay, my friend. You take care. I'll be back in a moment. More open lines continue right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. Back in a moment. Well, if you haven't heard about this, get ready for this. Of course, you know we have the After Dark newsletter. Comes out every month. The editor is our producer, Lisa Lyon, and Lex Lonehood writes for it. Everybody just contributes to this incredible newsletter. As a matter of fact, I'm going to start interviewing some of the authors and writers of some incredible stories. We had one in this month about Project Serpo and whether our government sent astronauts to another planet in an exchange program. I mean, it's unbelievable stuff. But with the After Dark newsletter, a couple of years ago, we gave a free CD, an interview that Art Bell conducted with the late Father Malachi Martin. It was called Perfect Possession. We're going to give that out again. You just pay a nominal shipping and handling fee. But the home run, the really compelling part of all of this, is we found another old Art Bell interview with the late Father Malachi Martin. So you're getting two separate interviews along with the After Dark newsletter when you pick it up. Call 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. Great Christmas gift, too. Or go online, coasttocoastam.com. You know, I filled in this Sunday for Art Bell, and so he's going to fill in for me this Friday, just so you can, set your calendar straight and you turn on the radio and go, what day is this? Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Hi.
This
where are you calling
Jennifer
from?
Jennifer from Alabama.
Hello there.
Hello. I am calling. I tried to call when you had Dr. Leary on. His program was great. However, I fell asleep, and I didn't get a chance to get in. I'm calling you to tell you something I think is interesting. I felt compelled to move to my parents' hometown where they met and they got married, and I did. I moved there a year ago. I met someone there, and we kind of had a psychic connection. I would write down things during the day, and he would repeat them to me at night. But we got to know each other, and we're in our mid to late 40s. Behind both of our ears are these fleshy parts. It's a fleshy part about a half an inch, I would say, long, an oval shape, and if you push hard enough, you can feel something very, very hard inside of there. And I believe it's an implant. He has the exact same thing, and his parents grew up in this town also. So when he and I get together, or when we're on the telephone, He gets a sensation in the corner of his mouth on the right side, and like if I'm around him, I'll see him brushing the side of his mouth, and he says, I say, what are you doing? And he says, it's like a little hair tickling me, He says,
yeah.
It happens all the time when I'm around you and when we're talking on the telephone, and I just wondered what you thought about that.
Well, this is very strange. First of all, have either one of you been to a doctor? Have you been x-rayed?
No. I have had a couple of MRIs of my head because I had a back injury. And I had thought, I did not think this was an implant. My mother always told me that it was just a cyst. Oh, honey, it's just a cyst.
Well, everybody doesn't think implant the first time around, so I can understand that.
Yeah. Well, so, but I had an MRI, and I thought later, after I had that, I thought, well, if there was any kind of metallic thing in there, that MRI machine would have just pulled it right out of my head, you know, but nothing happened. And if it is indeed an implant, then I would assume that it would not be of any metallic source from Earth.
How about your boyfriend? Has he, or I should say your acquaintance?
He believes it. He believes it. He has had an experience. He doesn't know if he has been abducted, but he has had an experience with the UFO. He doesn't know any details. You know, his screensaver's on. And I've had the same thing. He just laughs it off. But it makes him nervous when he gets around me because we can't be around each other very long because of that tickling feeling in the corner of his mouth.
Do you feel that too?
No, I don't. But we both have them in the same place and they feel identical. I don't know whether to have it surgically removed or not. I'm scared.
If it's there, I think you need to have it removed. And would you like to get a hold of Dr. Roger Lear and chat with him or at least email him and find out what he wants to do about this?
Yes, I would. I would. I went to his website and I saw where you have to fill out a form for criteria.
Yes.
To have that done. And, I don't know anything about it, but it's scary. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it can be x-rayed and you can see what it is before you get the scalpel out and start cutting away.
Well, let me ask you something about this town. Have there been reports that the population there has witnessed strange craft or anything unusual?
Yes, it has. Yes.
I wonder if the whole town's been abducted. You never know.
This town, there's been a book written on this town.
How many people live there? What do you think? Guess.
I'd say 30 to 35,000.
Well, I don't think you can abduct the whole town.
No. But it was strange that I was drawn to move there. A year ago, really didn't know why, just pick up and move. And he was drawn to pick up and move there at the very same month in December last year.
Yeah, I mean, it is strange. And again, what I advise you to do then, and as much as you've been to Dr. Roger Lear's website, send him an email, fill out the criteria sheet that he wants. You might even want to mention in the email that you've been on Coast to Coast, and I suggested that you get a hold of him. And, he may take a look at it. I mean, he's got limited funds available to do this because he's doing most of it out of his own pocket. But if you are very unusual and different, and especially with your friend, he might want to take this case under his wraps. I would recommend you do that. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir. Welcome to the show.
Oh, it's good to be here. My name is Zen, and I'm calling from Southern California. I have been listening to your show since about 2003, for about the last 3 years. And I've kind of debated whether to call and talk about this, but I feel that there's a lot of people out there who would really appreciate to hear this story.
Okay.
My grandfather was in the military in Germany back in the 20s and 30s, 40s. And he started out in what he explained to me was called the SA. He was an MP in the German military in the SA. And he explained to me, I believe in the 20s or early 30s, I think it was the late 20s or mid 20s, 1920s, that he was, what his job was is he was an MP for archaeological digs that were being excavated. And he told me many different places through Africa and different places that they would travel. And he would explain it to me more like a story. And he explained to me that during these archaeological digs, they would find all different types of things that they would later use as technology. And he always told me that this is where all technology, all advanced technology, had stemmed from, was from their archaeological digs. He explained to me that he felt that what they had found was the reason that they came out with the first jet engine. And he told me many other things.
That's incredible.
But yes, he also told me that during the war, a lot of the places that were bombed destroyed a lot of stuff that they had found, stuff that they had in production that they were working on. And he told me many things. I'm telling you maybe 1% out of 80% of everything that he's told me. But it was just incredible. Now, my grandfather died in 1987. I'm in my 30s, so I was a child at the time, and he told me all these stories. But I still remember many of these stories very clearly.
And so, let me ask you, when you say stories, you believe your grandfather. He wasn't trying to entertain you or anything, was he?
I think as a child I thought he was. Now that I'm older, and I told you I've been listening to your show for about 3 years now.
Yeah.
And listening to your show, I heard Zachariah Stitchin and all these other people, and Lear, and all these people I never knew about. I didn't know them before I started listening to your show. And a lot of these things made sense to me. And things that I had known for many years, things that if you talk to people casually about it or girlfriend or anybody else, they probably wouldn't know how to take it. And like I told you, I kind of debated whether to call and tell you about this for the last few years. And finally I said, well, I think a lot of people would really appreciate to know that they had that type of technology and that they were excavating things like that.
Staggering.
I'm sorry?
It's staggering just to even think of the possibilities.
Well, every time I get on an airplane, I think about it. I think about this really was old technology. They really did excavate things.
Did he ever tell you what he thought happened to these civilizations?
Well, he was an MP. I don't know if he had that much insight on it. He told me stories about places they would go. I don't remember them all. I remember him mentioning Egypt, places in South Africa. What I remember is he told me it was around the 20s, and he said they started putting it into production, and I think things started coming out in the 30s. He told me that they did deep digs, and they were there for months at a time. And, I don't know. I don't know.
He didn't mention. How about anything. Letters, photographs, anything like that?
No, he doesn't. He didn't have anything. He didn't have anything himself. But he did tell me stories of things. He said he would explain things to me like when we would be watching Star Wars, lasers, other things. He would explain to me that technology was the type of stuff that what he referred to it as the gods had had.
Did he ever estimate the age of this ancient technology?
He said that it goes back, he felt from what he had learned when he was very young, he told me stories that this was technology that had come from the gods, superior beings, and we all know what went on at that time and how they referred to things. And I'm third generation American,
yeah.
But he explained to me things of how they thought that they were the gods and that these were the, and that that's where they were getting their everything from. And I have a feeling that from the stories he told me, it was everything from their symbols to their technology to all types of things that they were getting from there. Now that I'm older and able to research a lot of his stories.
That's great stuff.
He told me that they were thousands and thousands and thousands of years. He told me that these were civilizations that were before any other civilization as of today.
Gosh. I would love to have talked to the man. What a gift it would have been to have him on this program, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, like I told you, I'm telling you maybe 1% of 80% of the stories he told me, and remembering some of it, recollecting a lot of the things that he has told me, I thought that people would really appreciate to hear that.
Why don't you put this in some kind of written form? This is a great story.
It's right, but then again, how do you, I'm my grandfather from Germany he was in the SS. And first, he was in the SA. Then he explained to me about how he went to the SS and everything happened. And but how do you really? Who really wants to hear about that?
You can just skim that a little bit to create his own credibility. Think about that. That'd be a great story. And by all means, call in from time to time if you want to keep feeding us a little bit more information on just what he told you. I find it utterly fascinating. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hey, George. Good program.
Thank you, sir.
This is Luis, leaving Phoenix. On our way to Denver.
Well, drive carefully.
I got two things real quick.
Okay.
Judgment Day, 2008, September, middle of the month. And that was a dream I had. The old man told me Judgment Day is going to be in 3 years. This was a year ago when I had it. And you had a program a week ago about Coral Castle.
Yes, down in Homestead, Florida.
I watched a documentary on him when I think it was like a year or two after he had passed away. The guy didn't eat meat. He always, the people that interviewed him, they said that he always had a piece of some leaves in a little pouch that he used to always chew on. And when a guy went down to his castle to move a big slab, I think it was like a three-ton slab of coral, he told him to turn around the corner to go on the other side of his house. And when he came back, he said he was no more than about a minute or two, and this slab was from on the ground, sitting on the back of his truck. And the old man was just sweating profusely.
That is a true story. And he didn't want anybody to see him. And I guess two kids were sneaking around the place, and they spotted him moving these huge blocks, just kind of floating them around. Incredible stuff.
It's got to be. You got to look into that and find out what it was chewing on, because he didn't eat. So you got to find out what that is. You know, a lot of those vegetarians, I'm sure they'll dwell on that.
It could have helped him. Could have put him in a different state of mind. Thanks for the call. Wild Card Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. And very quickly, just two fast things here. The question is about souls and reincarnation. I've always been on the fence about this subject, but from listening to your show, my mind's a little more open to the idea. But my question is, say, for example, somebody goes through life like 10 life cycles, the same soul.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that soul influences individual personality?
I think quite a bit. I think the quest for perfection is the reason for reincarnation. So if this person had 10 lives, he, I would hope, was getting better each time until he reaches a stage. But if he wasn't, he's going to come back another 50 times or 100 times. I don't know how many times it'll take.
Okay.
But I do think it has an effect.
And so let's say at the end, when this person has reached perfection, quote-unquote perfection, and achieves nirvana, that soul then takes on, I'm trying to word this, personality of its own, or all 10 personalities of the individual.
I wouldn't think of it as a personality by that time. Think of it as an energy or a light.
Uh-huh.
It just becomes part of the one. And that's what it is. It's no longer just personality anymore.
That's,
I don't even think that exists.
Term.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then very quickly, how often do you think that new or fresh souls enter Earth? Never before
question.
Been on the planet.
I think this is just a guess. It happens. Maybe not that often. I think that we've been regenerating souls for a very long time. I don't know if we're making too many new ones anymore.
Okay. All right. Appreciate your time, man.
Okay.
Take care. Great questions.
Absolutely great questions. Great evening, and it's just starting. So stick with us. If you need to email me, that's always george@coasttocoastam.com. Fast Blasts, if you want to hook yourself into that, that's easy too. That'll be by the eyes of Sigmund Freud on the coasttocoastam.com website. Okay, now we're going to talk about some predictions of the economy in the future. It affects all of us. That's next on Coast to Coast AM.